The first reading today, we hear God speaking basically on behalf of Zion and saying, "The Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me." This is an issue in the spiritual life that comes up very frequently. It is a necessary part of the spiritual life, a very painful part of the spiritual life, but it is necessary so that we are able to continue to love God more. That's what the spiritual life is all about. We have to always keep that in mind, because all too often we think of prayer as just give me, give me, give me, give me. This is what I want, give me this, whatever. That's not what prayer is about. I mean, that's part of it. But prayer is about adoration. Prayer is about it's about repentance and so on. But it's primarily about loving God and ultimately becoming conformed to Him. So in order for that to happen, God has to help us to love more. As I keep pointing out over and over and over again, a virtue only grows by having to practice it. So if we're going to love more perfectly, that means we have to love in situations that are more difficult. A married couple understands that. On the day you get married, there are all kinds of high emotions and everything is wonderful. It's really, really easy to love this person. And then the days come when it's not so easy, and this person is maybe the most difficult person in the world to love. And that's where the love grows the most. Well, the same is true in the spiritual life. When we go to prayer and there are all kinds of consolations and everything is wonderful and God is just right there, oh, it's so easy to pray, and it's so pleasant, and it's so wonderful. And then God takes all the feelings away, and He leaves us sitting there in dryness and darkness. We don't feel anything, and if we feel anything, it's just crushing pain. And it feels like God has abandoned us. Feels like God doesn't care. And in fact, it's just the opposite. That's what our Lord even asks. Can a mother forget her infant, be without tenderness for the child of her womb? And the answer is no. But if that's the case with a human mother, God is saying what He does is infinitely more. Even if she should forget, which obviously she can't, I will never forget you. God is going to be there. There is never a question about that. It's just that we don't feel it. And prayer isn't about feelings. You know, we tend to think that, boy, if prayer was great today because, wow, it was so nice, it was so pleasant, and God was just right there. That's actually when prayer's the worst. That is when you got the least out of prayer. When we think it's the best, God thinks it's the worst. And so it's when things are difficult, when we have to make the hard choice to be able to say, "This, I'm here to pray, I'm here to love God, that's what I'm going to do, even if I can't feel anything, even if it's painful, even if it's dry as a bone, even if it's dark as midnight, it doesn't matter. I'm going to stay here and I am going to be with the Lord, even if it doesn't feel like He's with me." He is. He's closer to you than you are to yourself. The question is never, is God with me? The question is, am I with God? And so in order to purify our love, God takes all those feelings away. He allows the soul to feel crushed sometimes. He allows the soul to feel abandoned. When you read some of the saints, you will recognize that very clearly. They get to a point in the spiritual life where they're just absolutely convinced that God has finally given up on them. Now, these are saints. These are people way, way up at the height of the spiritual life, and they're saying, "God finally gave up on me. I guess I'm just going to go to hell. I don't have any hope of going to heaven. God has just abandoned me." They said, "But Even if I do, then I'm going to praise God in hell. In other words, even if I wind up there, I'm going to drive the devil crazy because I'm just going to serve the Lord and praise Him and love Him, even if I'm completely abandoned by Him, even if I'm rejected by Him, I am going to continue to love Him. That's the disposition that He's looking for in all of us. And so if we're going to grow in the spiritual life, it's only going to be by having all the consolations taken away. The beginning of the spiritual life, it's mountains and valleys. Everything is just wonderful, and then the next day everything is awful, and then the next day everything is wonderful, and then the next day it's up and down and up and down and up and down. And then it's one day up and then 2 days down, and it's one day up and 3 days down, and it's one day up and 4 days down, and He just keeps pushing that out further and further until it's weeks and months and years. And eventually you just adjust. You get accustomed to the dryness and to the darkness. It's not fun. It's not easy. And yet, it is there that we can learn to love the most. That's why these things happen. We can see it even on the cross. Jesus intoning Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? He is God. Obviously, God didn't forsake him, but it felt that way. That's why we have to be able to reject all the emotional stuff, because it's not about the feelings, it's not about the emotions, it's not about the consolations. It's about loving more. It's about being purified to love God more perfectly. If I can put in a plug for our saint for today, we have just a phenomenal saint that almost nobody in America has ever even heard of. Great, great saint, Saint Anthony of Paola. Simple man, humble man. Saint Francis of Assisi started the Little Brothers, so he started the Littlest Brothers, as he would call them. They fast every day of the year. They do penance every day of the year. They are amazing. This man was astounding. The miracles that God worked through him. He was uneducated. He was very simple. And yet the kings would ask him to come so that they could consult with him, to be able to gain wisdom, to know what they should be doing. And it was because of his prayer, and it's because of the self-denial, and it's because of the suffering that he endured that all of this came about. And so again, we see somebody like that, and that's the pattern. That doesn't mean you're going to be out working miracles, but what we see is the same pattern of the prayer, and of the way the prayer life goes. So you can read St. Teresa and St. John of the Cross. When they talk about these things, everybody these days, the popular thing is, I'm in the dark night of the soul. There is no such thing. It's the name of a book. There are four different nights we read St. John of the Cross, not one. There are four. And where we are in the spiritual life and how God is purifying us and which of the nights we're in and so on, that's all secondary. He lays it all out if you want to read about it. Just recognize it's a necessity. And it actually is a reward. It doesn't feel like it. It feels like we're being punished. We're not. God is blessing you because you're being faithful in prayer. And because you are being faithful, He's going to purify you because He wants you to love as much as you possibly can. And that's what He's helping you to do. So, again, remember the principle that when we look at things on the natural level, the way we would look at it on the spiritual level is 180-degree opposite. So what we consider the best prayer, God considers the worst. What we consider the worst prayer, God considers the best. So if we're looking at it and saying it's dry and it's dark and it's painful and I get nothing from it, that's when you're getting the most from it. It just doesn't feel like it. God has not abandoned you. It just feels like He has. So put the emotions aside. Put the focus on the virtue. God wants all the virtues purified and perfected. But there is the one that is the highest, the perfect, which all the others are subsumed within it. That is charity. The love of God, the love of neighbor. That's what those purifications are all about, to purify and to perfect our love.